go. It is the Lori and Julia show on Tuesday, April 20th. Some call it 420. I'm going to go with April 20th today. And we're going to have quite a show for you today. We're not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we're glad you're here with us. And we're going to get through it together.
Yes, ABC KSCP is going to carry the verdict. If you're just joining us, the jury has reached a verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, and it is expected to come between 3:30 and 4 today. So we'll break away.
We'll break away, and then we'll have Lindsey Brown from Channel 5 in to discuss it with us afterwards. This is nerve-wracking.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then last night... We get the news that Walter Mondale passed away, former vice president, U.S. senator, diplomat, presidential nominee, son of Minnesota, and just a life of just amazing public service. Last summer, after George Floyd, he wrote the most incredible op-ed about how we're still striving for civil rights and social justice, and it was just really
moving.
Yeah. He's just a cool guy. And then Rocco, we thought of you sharing with
us,
because you earlier this year, your story.
I had a crazy experience with Walter Mondale once. I got a call from my boss at another radio station, said, "Hey, I think Eleanor Mondale can get a one-on-one with the Dalai Lama and we want you to go record it." And so I said, okay. And they're like, "And you're going to fly out to Madison, Wisconsin with Walter Mondale and Eleanor Mondale to meet the Dalai Lama." And that's just what I did. I rented a car with Walter Mondale. I drove through Madison, Wisconsin with Walter Mondale.
Wow.
I stopped by a strip mall to buy some AA batteries with Walter Mondale. And then I ended up like hanging out with him, eating Tibetan food with a bunch of monks, and then sitting in a room with the Dalai Lama and Walter Mondale and Eleanor Mondale.
That's
it's a day
cool
I'll never
story.
Forget.
What was he like?
He was just the most, he was just like somebody's grandpa. He was just the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, did he want to know about you?
Yeah, my favorite part of the day was with him. We got there early. The Dalai Lama wasn't ready for us. And so we were sitting like in this dining room. And with some monks, they were preparing like this exotic Tibetan food, and they offered us some, and we kind of were Minnesotan about it. We were like, "No, we're good."
Right.
And they offered it again.
That's so Minnesotan.
And then I was like, "Well, I'm kind of hungry. I'm gonna say yes. If you don't mind, I'll have some of your delicious food." And so they served us, and it was great. And Walter leaned over to me, and he's like, "Rocco, I'm glad you said yes, because I was getting kind of hungry myself." And I'm like, "You are the former vice president of the United States."
Right.
And he was nervous to ask for food. But he just seemed like the sweetest, nicest guy.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody says about
him. That's what everyone just said. Smart. Kind.
Yeah. And we've got the Today Show had a little audio package.
Yeah.
And apparently he knew that he was 93.
Right.
And he wrote his staff a letter, a farewell letter to his staff, thanking them for years of working together. And together we've accomplished so much. And I know you'll keep up the good fight. Joe in the White House certainly helps. And there's a great story about Walter Mondale when Joe Biden lost his wife and daughter in the car accident.
Right.
In 1972 or whatever that was.
Did they serve in the Senate at the same time?
Yeah. He lost his wife and daughter, two sons. Mondale camped out in the hospital room with the recently elected Senator Joe Biden, urging him to stay in the Senate, saying it could become part of his family. Biden would later say that when he had to decide whether to run with Barack Obama's first call was to Mondale, who persuaded him to join the ticket and said, "You can accomplish a lot as vice president," because he's considered to be the vice president who changed how vice presidents work. So we'll
with
listen,
the president. Okay.
Yeah, we'll listen to the Today Show.
Well, he is widely credited with reinventing the modern vice presidency, a proud Midwestern liberal who lost his bid for president to Ronald Reagan. But Walter Mondale was the very embodiment of decency in American politics. Walter Mondale, known to many as Fritz, was a leading senator when he became Jimmy Carter's vice president. A job, Mondale said, used to be just going to funerals. but he transformed it into a real partnership, as he recounted on Today in 2010.
I worked with the president around the clock. Joe, I love you. And we're
5 years later, then Vice President Joe Biden told Mondale he was his role model for how to do the job.
You really did modernize the vice presidency.
Mondale's own bid for the presidency in 1984 was an uphill battle.
I picked someone who I thought would make a superb vice president, or if necessary, a president.
An historic choice. But Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro, the first woman on a major party ticket, tripped over her family finances. And Mondale's straight talk about taxes and deficits boomeranged.
Mr. Reagan will raise taxes. And so will I. He won't tell you. I just did.
In their second debate, Ronald Reagan deftly defused criticism of his age with a classic one-liner.
I am not going to exploit for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
They both laugh.
All those states colored in blue are Ronald Reagan states.
Mondale and Ferraro lost in a landslide. Tributes pouring in overnight, including from President Carter, who wrote, I mourn the passing of my dear friend Walter Mondale, who I consider the best vice president in our country's history. President Biden, who spoke with Mondale over the weekend, writing, he may have been modest and unassuming in manner, but he was unwavering in his pursuit of progress. Walter Mondale left a final letter for all of his former aides, writing, well, my time has come, but before I go, I wanted to let you know how much you mean to me, and I know you will keep up the good fight.
Wow.
I'm gonna cry.
I know. And I had to laugh. I was reading the Washington Post. He and Carter, their slogan was Fritz and Grits.
Okay, that's fine. that's funny.
When they ran together. But he really...
Wasn't he the ambassador for Japan?
Yes, he was. And he was, you know, for a climate. You know, he was a real...
Forward-thinking,
progressive, and...
Politician.
And also, also pointing out that, you know, social justice... You know, that we have to keep going forward on that and not being quiet. And he just was kind of an amazing life. And I feel like we talked to that filmmaker, Melody Gilbert.
Of course, yes.
Years ago, she did a documentary about him, I want to say like in 2010 or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she did a documentary about him because he was, of course, you know, his son of a, like, I think his dad was a minister. And he was not a bragging type of person or anything like that. And just a very decent, honorable, good-humored politician. And I feel for his family. And Chan Poling, I know he was very close with his father-in-law. And, of course, you know, Walter Mondale, you know, outlived his daughter and his wife. Joan of Art is what her nickname was because she was a big arts fan. So, 93 years old. And Rocco,
I love that story.
And
it's so good.
And Walter. Yep. And just a really, 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 it just kind of, both Casey and I were just like, we just had to stop what we were doing when that came across. We're like, oh, he was such a great guy.
A good person.
Yeah,
right.
Really.
Right.
All righty. Well, again, we will be going live when the verdict, when they've got everybody back in the courtroom, and we'll be carrying that live from ABC and KSTP. And in the meantime, we will just have to get back to a story yesterday that was making us crazy.
Yes.
And now the cookie whisperer has spoken. Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. Just a note, we will be going live as soon as ABC KSTP breaks in with the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. Now be between 3:30 and 4, and we don't know. We'll just cut away to it.
Right.
So, and that was, of course...
A little meatloaf.
Little meatloaf, but we had another notable passing.
Oh,
unfortunately, Jim Steinman didn't get to the wonderful age of 93 like Walter Mondale. He was only 73, but he... is the epic ballad writer. Rocco.
Did he write all of these Meatloaf songs?
He wrote, The Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
He did?
He wrote the most of Bad Out of Hell. He also wrote...
That album, which was the album that made Meatloaf.
He also wrote A Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, my gosh.
Bonnie Tyler.
Yes.
Celine Dion. It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Oh, no.
He's an epic balladeer. He really...
It's all coming.
I do anything for love, but I won't do that for you.
Oh my gosh!
Is, you know, Bat Out of Hell too.
Yes.
Yeah, just so melodramatic and hooky. Just
hooky. Okay.
You're right, hooky. I like that. And hooky, not
like yeah, here's a song, Rocco, okay. that yeah. is the only Air Supply song.
Oh, right.
That I love. Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Oh, I love that song.
Sweeping, yeah. epic
find that one.
Ballad. Find that one, Rocco, and. He, of course, you know, I already said the Celine Dion. He also worked with Barbara Streisand.
And what did he write for her?
I don't know what
oh,
songs,
gosh.
But
all right.
for three straight weeks in 1983, he was responsible for the number one and number two songs on the Billboard chart, Total Eclipse and Making Love. The Air Supply was second.
Oh, my one God.
Looks like the yeah. Barbara Streisand song was Left in the Dark off the Emotion album. Maybe I'll play that for you later.
I don't know that I know that one.
Yeah. Holly posted all of the hits that
wow.
he's written.
He died young, 73.
Yeah, he had a stroke in 2004, and he spent years relearning how to use his voice. And he did receive his first and only Grammy in 97 for writing... On Dion, Celine's album,
Celine
the Falling Into You album, which was, of course,
it's amazing. You know,
the songwriters,
people who have strokes are just such fighters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rocco, you got our Air Supply.
It's all
yeah, I didn't know you wanted it right now. I can play that. It
all
was
right.
a little something.
Let's
like,
listen to
just
it.
Just because it's such a.
Oh, they're just so I dramatic.
I know.
I love the drama, though.
I know.
Just bring it on for me, the songs.
Yes, and of course, he was in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, yeah. obviously, with these.
Tell us his
songs.
Name one more time.
Jim Steinman. And he always wore way back when, he always wore real cool, groovy, far out glasses, and I'm using the words that he, I feel like he would
use. And those are words that need to come back.
Groovy, far out.
Cool. That's so cool. We still use that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But groovy, I really like. Keep on trucking.
Yeah, we're not going to get to our cookie whisperer. We're just too anxious about this verdict. But we're going to get to the cookie whisperer.
Later in the show.
Who started something, but anyway.
An epic battle on Instagram.
Yeah, basically. I do have, please don't groan, a new show. I haven't had a new show on Freeform, the old, ABC Family.
Since Sirens. Wasn't that on
that
there?
That was CW.
Oh, okay.
CW.
Okay, what was
what's Freeform again? That's the old that's ABC old Family? ABC.
All right, yes. So what was the show that you used to watch on ABC Family?
Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, that's
Pretty
right.
Little
How
Liars, and then they had a reboot, you
right?
know, of the name. But here is a show that I know I'm going to love. I just know it. And it's getting pretty good reviews.
She wants everyone else to love it, too.
Well, you know, it just might be... Okay, so it's called Cruel Summer, and I think Jessica Biel is producing it.
Okay.
She was on Ellen yesterday, but I could not stomach watching those two gush over each other in their fake ways about all their fake crap.
Honest to Pete, you're so... funny.
So I think that she's because she's gotten into producing okay, and we
yeah,
love
we
her
saw,
show The Center
yes.
on USA. It's a
so
great
it's called
show.
Cruel
Summer, and it starts tonight on Freeform. And okay, so here's what People writes about it. The narrative framework of this tangy, nasty series cuts from 93 to 94 to 95 and back. So it's, you know, one of those. Over that time, Jeanette, a sweet but not very popular girl, seems to evolve into some kind of pouty, glossy sociopath. At least that's the opinion of Kate, a sun-kissed teen queen who blames Jeanette after her own charmed life takes a horrific turn. So it's like a mystery. It's, you know, it's a mystery.
Oh, you love it. But I like the use of the word tang.
Tangy and nasty.
I love tangy. Yeah. You're so tangy.
Tangy. But there, it's going to be.
I can't hang out with you anymore. You're too tangy.
It reminds me of like how much I love that show, Outer Banks.
Oh, we loved Outer Banks.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
It's going to be in Outer Banks with a murder mystery and you know, hot older teenagers.
Making out
and finding
okay,
Rocco. Their way in life.
So Rocco, I think Serpent on Netflix, which is the story of this just horrific man that used to steal people's identity and money back in the 70s.
True story.
Based on a true story. And
I knocked out another one last night.
You're
too deep into it. Yeah.
It's stressful, that second one.
Oh my gosh.
It's stressful.
I think I told Lori on Friday when you're gone, if you guys hadn't recommended this show so highly to me, mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd stay with it because it is just.
I understand.
It's horrible. I mean, it's obviously well done, but it's just like awful things happen to good people.
Right.
And
but just yeah, wait, Rocco. Okay,
because I'm over because Rocco, I feel like because I only have one episode left,
mm-hmm.
so I feel like I'm over the bridge of the horribleness.
Okay,
after the third episode, I enjoyed the fourth one a little bit more and the fifth one more.
Well, because it's going more into this other stuff. You're getting over the initial shock of
how
what
horrible
this guy is.
Yeah. And then you get a little bit more of the backstory. And the clothes, and the travel, mm-hmm. and the way the world works back then with just paper is really
fascinating.
Traveler's checks.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Right. It's just kind of fascinating.
No phones.
None.
No. I remember my mom and my two girlfriends' moms.
You went to Europe with no phones.
I went to Europe when I was 19 years old for 2 months. And
no phones.
Yeah. But I mean, we were giddy. Not that our parents made us check in much because it was, you know, the late 70s and people were more relaxed about everything.
Yeah.
But my mom was like, what if you get kidnapped? And we're like, we're not going to get kidnapped, but we could have been kidnapped.
Think about it, Lori. Think about it. Rocco, you studied abroad, right?
Yeah, like that was 92. Yeah, there was still no cell phones.
No, yeah. I traveled
abroad and I just remember...
You didn't check in with anybody unless you needed money.
I called my mom, though, from all the major cities.
You did?
Because I was with guy I didn't like.
Okay.
And I'm, Mom, you won't give me any money because he had the money.
Yeah.
All right, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And again, we'll be breaking into ABC News between 3:30 and 4 when everybody is gathered for the verdict in the courtroom.
Of Derek Chauvin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back.